The AI Today podcast, produced by Cognilytica, cuts through the hype and noise to identify what is really happening now in the world of artificial intelligence. Learn about emerging AI trends, technologies, and use cases from Cognilytica analysts and guest experts.
Hello and welcome to the AI Today podcast. I'm your host, Kathleen Walsh.
And I'm your host, Ron Schmelzer. And the thing about AI Today, if you're listening to this podcast for the first time, is we've been talking about some of the topics we cover in our podcast for years. I know some of you may or may not like the fact that we refer to ourselves as being around for so long, but we have. We've been around since 2017 recording this podcast with well over 400 episodes. And the reason why we mention this is because not just to talk about how long we've been doing this, but also because there are some topics that just keep coming back. You think you discuss something in 2018 or 2019, and it's like, well, that's the final word I have to say on that. And then next thing you know, there's some headline about yet another company getting into all sorts of trouble when it comes to their AI projects. And for whatever reason, people like shortcut themselves when it comes to methods and process, and they think that they can solve all their problems with just the latest technology. But I think we all know better than that, right, Kathleen? It's not technology that comes to the rescue most of the
exactly.
time.
Exactly. Yeah, we always talk about people, process, and technology. And we're big believers that technology, you know, just throwing more technology at your problem is not going to fix it. You really need to focus on people and process. So that's what we do at AI Today. We spend a lot of time focusing on those topics. And for today's podcast, we really want to talk about determining AI project costs. So many of our listeners have reached out to us. We always love when you let us know what episodes you enjoy, different topics maybe, or discussions you'd like us to dig deeper into. And also our CPM AI community, the Cognitive Project Management for AI. We have a training and certification. And so many of our CPM AI certified folks reach out to us with some ongoing questions that they have about running projects, because everybody is in a different step in their journey. Some people sign up for CPM AI before they've even run an AI project. Others have, you know, maybe run one AI project, and others are farther along in their journey. So we like to hear from everybody on this. And again, as Ron said, you know, maybe in 2019, we were like, this is the final say, but things continue to evolve and change. So we really wanted to spend some time focusing on AI project costs and, you know, how to go about approaching the subject and what that really means.
Yeah. So one of the for folks who are trying to run and manage AI projects, you know, there's a lot of things that they need to think about in terms of how they go about the project and starting it and scoping things. We talked about that in a previous podcast, and we'll talk about some of those other things in future podcasts. But of course, one of the big questions is, how much is this project going to cost? Because if you're trying to generate a return on investment, you kind of have to know what the investment part is. You have to know what the return is, too. But of the two things, you're guaranteed pretty much that you're going to spend at least what the investment's going to say. You might spend more, but you're not guaranteed anything about the return.
We hope it's a positive one.
Right. So when it comes to like really cost, you know, because AI is a technology area, if you will. And so therefore, when you're spending money on AI, what you're spending money on are the technology aspects, right? Which always comes down to, well, usually comes down to the software, the hardware, and the services. You know, if you think about it, the machines, the things that run on those machines, and then the people who have to make those machines do what they have to do. But it's not really that easy when it comes to AI, is it? Because there's a missing component there that really trips up. And this is where costs can really go up.
Exactly. Because we always talk about how data is the heart of AI. So we need to make sure that we're focusing on data when it comes to AI projects. So this, like Ron said, you know, costs can really add up. One thing that we know for certain is that data is just continuing to grow. So and we know that not all data is created the same. So maybe you have good data, maybe you have data that's not so clean and usable, and maybe some data is your own. We know a lot of organizations, whether or not they like to admit it, have data silos. So do you even have access to that data? So as we're looking about, you know, and trying to figure out spend on an AI project, we always need to understand the cost and complexity of dealing with data. And a lot of times people often underestimate that actual cost, which can have, you know, major impacts on your project, because you want to make sure that you're asking for the right amount of investment on your project. And you want to make sure that it is providing that return that we had talked about.
Yeah. So there's many different things that go into thinking about the project for an AI project. One of them has to do with, like, you know, are you building your own models? Are you using someone else's? Are you going to focus on project prompt engineering or fine tuning, or, you know, building a RAG, which is a retrieval augmented generation solution? Or are you going to be running your own model? Are you going to be doing it in the cloud? Is it local? How are you training your model? And of course, all the aspects of data engineering. And of course, people always underestimate the cost and complexity of dealing with data. So one of the ways of dealing with all this stuff is, well, you know, first you have to think about how big your AI project is, because, you know, size really matters when it comes to AI projects.
Right. So we always, always say, think big, start small, and iterate often. In a previous podcast, we talked about project scope and what it really means to think big and start small and what iteration looks like. So for you, when you're starting small, it really matters how small you go if you want to control those costs. Now, every project and every organization, it's going to be different. So that's why you really need to understand your project scope. But the cost has to do with the scope of the iteration. And you also need to remember that your iteration should be short. We're talking maybe 2 weeks. We are not talking 2 months. We are not talking 2 years, not even 1 year. So you want to make sure that you have that short iteration. That also can help to figure out how small you need to go to get that to happen. So starting small, or, you know, using and building off of someone else's model may be a really appropriate thing for you to do, if, because it's going to have the lowest cost, the fastest iteration time. And if it's already available, then go ahead, and it fits your needs and you're able to do it, then go ahead. And that's how you can start small. So you need to figure that out. And then also, even if you are going to build your own model, which we know that many of our listeners do, or maybe you're thinking about that, there's also ways that you can reduce costs considerably. So again, you want to think about starting small. Once you've done that, now you're able to figure out which one or more of the 7 patterns of AI you're going to be using for your project. And again, that can help you start small. That can also help, you know, shortcutting your way to AI project success.
Yeah. I mean, some of the AI patterns, like building something autonomously, can cost a lot of money. And you can't really use a lot of off-the-shelf stuff. It's not like there's a good, say, ChatGPT alternative for building an autonomous factory bot or something like that. People are working on it, but it's not just like opening up a web browser and typing in a prompt. It's going to require people and all that sort of stuff, right? High skilled. And then some costs, some patterns are really low cost. I just implied one, right? Conversational pattern stuff now is really very inexpensive, because the foundational models, the large language models, already exist, and they probably do 80 or 90%, or if not 100% of what you want them to do. So when we think about scope, you know, we talked in the previous podcast, we talked about starting with the smallest project that would deliver the highest return in the shortest amount of time. Another way of thinking about that is you can replace that word smallest with the lowest cost. So you could start with the lowest cost pattern that will deliver the fastest results in the shortest amount of time. It may not necessarily be a size issue in terms of like how much work you need to put into it, but it might be low cost. And therefore, what you're doing is you're accentuating that ROI because you're driving down that I. So there's a lot of tips we could take here on going low cost, right?
Exactly. So if, you know, cost is something that we really want to be mindful of, and we want to, you know, we might not have large budgets, then a really great option is to use someone else's model. So starting small and using or building off of someone else's model usually will always have the lowest costs and the fastest iteration time. This is important, especially, you know, as you're figuring out how to scope your project, when you're figuring out budget for your project, and you also want to get buy-in, because you want those short, easy, quick wins, so you can really show value and then continue to get funding for your project and continue to have people, you know, jazzed up and excited about it and want to continue with it. So there's a reason why GPTs and large language models and foundation models are so hot right now. We've talked about this in previous podcasts. They're getting a lot of attention. And there's the reason for that is that they're low cost and the iteration time is incredibly fast. And also the potential return is very quick. So it's, again, you want to be able to show that, you know, immediate or very fast return, and large language models are doing that.
Yeah. And there's a few easy, which generally means low cost ways of using someone else's model. You can just use the model directly. If there's a browser interface and you want the output from the browser, like you're getting text generation or image, just open up your browser. You don't need any software than what you got. You know, maybe you can get it for free, or maybe you get it for a low subscription cost, and you get exactly what you want. Now, if you need it to tie it into your system, if it's got an API, then you can use that too. And maybe some of that API is free. Maybe some of that you're paying on a pennies per query basis. And so you can get that pretty quick. So that's very low cost, right? Now, let's just say it's not enough. You need to build something on top of the someone else's model. And of course, here, like a large language model. Well, one thing you can do, for example, as we mentioned, retrieval augmented generation. This is where you want to have the LLM, but instead of it querying like the general internet, it's going to query your documents. So you can ask questions about your own employee records or healthcare records, whatever it is. You know, let's be careful with healthcare and privacy. But you can ask all these questions, like maybe an FAQ, and you can build a RAG where when someone types a question, what it does is at first uses the database to look up the best result from your own data, and then it basically puts that into the prompt and then asks the question on that. Very low cost as well. You know, maybe a little extra cost. It's not entirely free. It is not just like the subscription. And then there's other things. Let's say that even that's not enough. You could still get a low-cost way of making those foundation models do what you want them to do. You can do what's called fine-tuning or model tweaking, where you basically can add additional layers, add additional complexity. Maybe you're not training the whole model, but you're training a small bit of it. And so therefore, it's a controllable cost, right? So these are areas where we are looking at the different costs of using someone else's models, right? And they generally come down to a few categories. We have the monthly subscription fee or the API cost for using someone else's model. We have some time that's needed from the analyst or the developer or the user, the citizen developer, if you want, to generate the prompts or whatever the inputs are for the model. If I'm going to build a RAG or some other solution on top of it, I may have a little bit of development time. But even for RAGs, it's like 5 or 6 lines of code usually. You have to set something up in the cloud. It doesn't take very much time or cost to do it. You might have to do some bit of data preparation, either for the data you're putting into someone else's model or what's coming out of that model. And if you do need to do fine-tuning and model tweaking, there's going to be some costs involved there. The one thing that we don't really have a good idea as far as what the costs are for using someone else's model is basically checking the results, sanity checking. This is especially the problem with LLMs because they can come back with some pretty bad hallucinations. And we talk about the one, you know, poster child for this, of course, is Air Canada, and they're using a chatbot on their site, and it came back with something that was conflicting with their own website, and they ended up, you know, going to court and they ended up having to pay for it. How expensive was that, right? And the question was like, well, how expensive would it have been to have put some sort of process or something involved in checking the results? And that's actually a good question, because there's no good way to know how much that would cost. And would it cost more to have someone checking the results than the cost of the system to begin with? Good question.
Exactly. Right? And we also have talked a lot about how lawyers are trying to shortcut, you know, use ChatGPT to figure out, help write, you know, closing arguments for them, and it'll find case law that didn't actually exist. And then they're quoting that in, you know, things that they are writing up. And so, again, I mean, this is happening in multiple industries. And the reason we like to bring this up is that we like these ripped from the headlines, because it's like, listen, we're not making this up. This is actually happening now. Even still, sanity checking is incredibly important. If you're not doing it, you will run into issues. It may not be now, but it will be later. You or someone at your organization. So we like to bring it up. because it's incredibly important. And sometimes, you know, you think you're maybe shortcutting your way to AI success, and we go, hold on, maybe you're not when something really bad happens. So we talked about, you know, this cost affordable, maybe going cheap way is using someone else's model. But what about if you're planning on building your own model? What is the project cost going to be there? Well, if you can't just use or sit on top of somebody else's model, then you're going to need to build your own. And there's many different reasons and use cases and justifications for this. So, you know, we're not saying one is better than the other. We're just talking about project costs. So when we take this think big, start small, and iterate often mindset and approach to our projects, when starting small, even when you need to build your own AI model, this idea of starting small will really reduce costs considerably because we're keeping the scope in check. So as we're going through CPMAI, which is the Cognitive Project Management for AI, a best practices methodology for running AI projects, each phase of CPMAI is going to have a cost impact, and it's important to understand this. So we start off in phase one with business understanding. We want to make sure that we're actually solving a real business problem. Okay, we say that we are. So now we're going to be scoping our project, and we're going to be identifying which pattern or patterns of AI out of the 7 patterns of AI that we're using. And in phase one, we're also going to be determining if there's any roadblocks. We talk about this AI go, no go, and it's a series of different questions. There's about 9 different questions, and you need to make sure that you are answering yes to all of them. You may be running into some roadblocks if you don't answer yes. What are the cost implications for that? We need to make sure we're understanding that. But there's more phases.
Yeah. And so even if we sort of are able to scope our project and we pick the right pattern and we have, say, no roadblocks, if we're lucky, and the data, when we're in phase two, we're trying to get, say, okay, great. Now, what is the data that I need to go ahead and address the problem with that pattern that I picked? And this is, of course, where size and quality really matter, because if you're going to be talking about petabytes of data, especially data that might not be clean, what you're doing is you're imposing on your project the cost of cleaning that data, preparing that data. Let's say you're building a new model for image recognition and you need to also do data labeling. Well, it's one thing to do data labeling for 1,000 images. It's another thing to do data labeling for 1,000,000 images, right? It may not even scale linearly, that cost. And you have all these issues of preparation. So in phase two, understanding that the scope is not just the scope of the project, it might also be applying the project to a smaller amount of data as a way of controlling our costs. As we say, more data, more value, but also more data, more problems, right? And then, of course, in phase three, what we're going to do is we're going to take the data that we figured out, and now we're going to actually spend the time. And what we have said repeatedly is that 80% of the time an AI project is not spent doing the fun parts, running and managing the project. It's doing the data preparation, the data engineering, and the data management, and that has some costs, right?
Exactly. So if we know, you know, that those have costs, we need to be figuring that out, like Ron said, with data preparation, data engineering, data management, all of the things that go into prepping our data. In phase four, we need to be, so figuring out phase four is model development now. So within this phase, model development has costs, especially depending on where and how you're going to train your model. Are you going to train it on premise? Are you going to train it in a cloud? How are you going to be iterating that model? And are you going to use or not use third-party models? So all of those questions need to be addressed in this phase, and all of them will have cost implications. In phase five model evaluation, you are going to evaluate your model and iterate, and that takes time, and it does cost real money. So again, we need to be understanding that there's costs associated with all of our phases. And then our last phase is where we operationalize the model, you know, where we're actually going to be using it in the real world. What's important to understand in this phase is that it has a current cost and it also has future cost impacts as well.
Yeah. I mean, we've heard situations where people have had, let's say, a simple model that they host in a cloud environment that did something simple like, I don't know, image recognition or text summarization or sentiment analysis. And the thing is, when you host on the cloud, it may start out really cheap. It may actually be in the free tier. You may not even have to pay anything for it. But as people start using it, your costs go up. So all of a sudden, we've seen cases where it's like they get this ginormous bill because like, oh my God, my little model for classifying tweets or something, you know, now got embedded in some other application. That application, they're not paying for it. I'm paying for it. It's my model. And now everybody's using it. And I'm paying for, you know, the cloud computing costs and the data costs and the network costs. So, yeah, this is an issue. And if you haven't thought about it, you might be like, wow, this is really cheap. And it's like, you're a victim of your own success, actually. You want to think of it that way. It's everybody's using the model. It's great. Yeah, but you're paying that price. So you need to think about that. You know, maybe hosting on the cloud may or may not have been a good idea. Maybe it was necessary, but then maybe there's a way that you could have charged people or something, recovered the cost. You need to think about that, right? That's what CPMEI does. It helps you think about it. And CPMEI not only helps you think about sort of the process and the order in which you do things, but it helps you think about costs and things like that. So when we're iterating constantly on each of these phases, and so we'd love to say start small, you know, because it helps you control the cost, it helps you get to success quickly, and that really means budgeting for constant change, constant update, constant management, because as we always like to say, AI is never a set it and forget it. So we're going to help you not have to forget things and be like, oh my goodness, I didn't realize that everybody's using my very successful model in the cloud.
Exactly. So another thing that we wanted to focus in on is AI services costs. So when we're trying to figure out and determine our AI projects, our AI project costs, we also need to think about AI service costs. So what sort of services are needed for AI project iteration? And again, you need to be thinking about this on a project by project basis. Some of this is going to come down to who is on the AI team as well. So in a future podcast, we're going to talk about the AI team and different roles and different roles and titles and responsibilities that you should be having at each phase of CPMEI. And that's also going to determine the costs of your project, right? Because we have to pay people. And it also is going to impact potentially the scope. So when we're thinking about models specifically too, are we going to be using someone else's model or are we going to be building our own model? And depending on the answer, that also is going to depend and impact our price. So if we're using someone else's model, then especially if we're thinking about roles, maybe we could get away with just citizen developers. You know, we don't need fully trained developers. But we also need to make sure we talk about data is the heart of AI. These are data projects. So who's going to be managing the data quality? Because again, garbage in is garbage out. So we want good quality data that's coming in. And also, who's going to be monitoring the use of the model and the quality of the inputs and outputs? So again, we really need to be thinking about this. And this all is going to impact the overall cost.
Yeah. And I think part of the reason why we've seen, again, this rush to generative AI is because people have seen like, oh, I can get results very quickly. I don't need a data scientist. I don't need a machine learning engineer. I don't need to worry about all this data pipeline stuff. And to some extent that, you know, for some kinds of problems, that may be true. But I think people sort of don't realize that just like with the cloud, that example I was giving you, it might be cheap or even free in the beginning, but the costs accelerate when you're not looking at it. I think a lot of people now who have experience with the cloud won't say that the cloud is the cheap way of doing things. Actually, cloud is not really a cheaper way of doing things. It's just a more scalable, flexible way of doing things than, say, having your own servers. Because if you all of a sudden need twice as much capacity, well, you have to put another server in your rack if you want it. Whereas on the cloud, you can scale up and scale down as you need. But I think we're starting to see the same issue here with generative AI. It might start really cheap, but then people don't realize, oh my goodness, I have all these costs I need to maintain and keep an eye on it and monitor the results and data quality. And so those costs most likely are going to increase over time.
They are increasing over time. You're being generous.
Right. Now, of course, if you're building your own model, you know, this is where you need to have data science and machine learning engineering teams. You need to have your data engineering and preparation teams. And of course, when you're operationalizing the model, you need to have the teams to put the model up. And you're responsible for keeping that model available on uptime, and of course, constantly monitoring it. So there are different kinds of costs, but then again, maybe those costs are fixed and you know exactly how much that costs, so that even if, say, the demand for your model, say, really inflates, you say, well, I still have my team here. It's not like I'm using somebody else's stuff. So there's always this trade-off between sort of predictability of cost and sort of the flexibility of that sort of stuff. And it applies to AI just as much as it applies to the cloud. But what about some of this other stuff, right, Kathleen? People are spending money on more than just the individual contributors, the smart people, the subject matter experts. Sometimes they're spending money on, well, strategy. And does exactly. that pay? Does that pay?
Well, you know, you're going to have to think about that for your overall project cost. And are you going to put that to one project or many? So we've seen, you know, some people are spending an absurd amount of money on, we're air quoting, this AI strategy. So do you really need to be spending this absurd amount, like $1 million on an AI strategy? And the answer is no. Follow best practices, methodologies that are already out there that people are already using. We're big advocates of CPM AI, the Cognitive Project Management for AI. That is your strategy. We just talked about all six phases, and we have podcasts that dig deep into each of these six phases, as well as our training and certification that does as well. So either learn it yourself, or you can hire someone that's CPM AI certified to help you on your project. But you don't need to be consulting with, you know, these expensive strategists to give you an AI strategy to move forward. There's already one that people are adopting and using, and we, you know, are big advocates of it for a reason, because we've seen a lot of AI project success with it.
Now, if somebody wants to give us $1 million to help you with an AI strategy, we won't necessarily say no. However, we'll be like, you don't really need to spend that much money. You can get a lot more for your buck, you know, with $1 million. You don't need to be spending it on, say, big management consulting firms or, you know, big accounting firms that have technology arms to basically tell you very generic stuff. You probably can get, honestly, a lot of their value. I bet if you asked ChatGPT for an AI strategy, I think it would probably give you 85% of the strategy you're paying $1 million for, or whatever it is. So we think it's a little excessive. But, you know, it just reminds me of the past. I've been around the technology world for a long time. I remember the early days of the web when people were paying $1 million for a website, or $10 million for a website. Heck, you know, government paid a lot of money for the first Obamacare website. And then, you know, then they ended up redoing it for a lot less cost. But people do that, like, when there's new technology like that, people like feel like they have to like jump in with both feet, and for whatever reason they don't want to work with, say, companies that are small that they never heard of. They want to be like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to go with this big brand name consulting firm who's going to probably give you very generic advice that's very similar or actually worse to what you'd get from a specialist, and you'll pay 10, 20, 30, 50 times the amount. It's crazy, but we've seen it before. You know, this kind of comes down to, we actually have seen a project recently that someone is proposing where they want to spend $1 million, a nice round figure, on a RAG, on a retrieval augmented generation solution, which is, again, just a way of querying using an LLM like or ChatGPT to basically query on your own documents. So basically just building a custom chatbot that is AI powered on your documents. And someone's saying, I'm going to, you know, $1 million for that. That's ridiculous. First of all, it's like five lines of Python code. Everybody knows the approach on how to work it. You get a database, you know, that does the vectorization, all sort of stuff. And all it does is feeds the prompts into OpenAI or whatever, and you get your results. Like, it's not worth that much money. And if your consultants are listening to us and you guys are bidding large projects like that, you need to think about it, because the problem is that you're just making the ROI that much harder. I understand maybe you can get away, because of your company or your brand, you can get away with a seven-figure project for that really doesn't need it. But the problem is that the customer then needs to see such a high return. And the thing about AI is that this area is constantly changing, and it does not follow the think big, start small, iterate often methodology, a $1 million RAG. You're better off saying, how many iterate for $1 million, I will give you 500 iterations or something like that. And, you know, maybe it'll start as a RAG, but maybe it'll end up somewhere else. You can, if you wanted to sell something for $1 million, you have to deliver like $10, $20, $30 million of value. So Of course, there are things that do cost a lot of money, right, Kathleen? I mean, there are some things that do cost, you know, a ton of money in AI.
Yeah. And so we're not saying that you can't spend that money, but we're saying be thoughtful about it. Because as we're trying to determine AI project costs, don't put unnecessary costs on things that don't need it. You know, Ron talked earlier about the autonomous pattern of AI, and that really is a hard problem to solve. And so you are going to need to spend a lot of money depending on what it is, especially, you know, if we have hardware versus, you know, software projects. So there are real costs to that, but just be mindful of this. And again, we always say that's like the hardest pattern. So we don't recommend starting with that. And if we do, we're going to be wanting to start really small because you want to be seeing that ROI. Now, maybe that's the pattern that you need. So we're not saying don't do it. But again, you just want to show these quick wins to your organization, because at the end of the day, we want you to succeed with your AI projects. There's far too many projects that are failing or that are stalled for unnecessary reasons. And so we're trying to help you get past that so that that is not you and you are not in one of those failure statistics. So hopefully.
And if you're trying to build like your own foundation model, like let's say you're trying to build a competitor to, you know, one of the LLMs, the foundation models, $1 million actually might not even be enough money. Because if you're going to go out and, you know, scrape the whole internet and get like a truckload of GPUs to train, you're going to probably need all that money that these big technology companies are investing. Yeah, that's where that money is going. So
$1 million to get you nowhere fast, right? If you're trying to compete. Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, it's not the amount of money that's the issue. It's how it's being spent. And I think you go from low value to high value and saying, I'm spending $1 million on AI advice, like an AI strategy, $1 million on a RAG and $1 million building an alternative to GPT. You're getting very different levels of value, from your $1 million there.
Yeah. So that's a great point to end this podcast on. We hope that we've given you a lot to think about, especially when it comes to AI projects and what they really are going to cost. As always, reach out to us. We love to hear from you. We'd love your thoughts on this topic. You can message us on LinkedIn and connect to us as well, or you can email us team@cognilytica.com. That's team@cognilytica.com, or you can go to aitoday.live as well. We also encourage you to subscribe to AI Today if you haven't done so already. We have some really incredible podcasts coming up, especially on some of these topics that we talked about, you know, the AI project team. What does that mean, especially for each phase of CPM AI? And I will also link to CPM AI in the show notes. We have a free intro to CPM AI course just for you, our AI Today listeners. I know many of you have already taken that course, so thank you. And if you haven't, like I said, I'll link to it in the show notes. You could go to aitoday.live/CPMAI to learn all about it. Like this episode and want to hear more? With hundreds of episodes and over 3 million downloads, check out more AI Today podcasts at aitoday.live. Make sure to subscribe to AI Today if you haven't already on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, Amazon, or your favorite podcast platform. Want to dive deeper and get resources to drive your AI efforts further? We've put together a carefully curated collection of resources and tools, handcrafted for you, our listeners, to expand your knowledge, dive deeper into the world of AI, and provide you with the essential resources you need. Check it out at aitoday.live/list. This sound recording and its contents are copyright by Cognilytica, all rights reserved. Music by Matsu Gravas. As always, thanks for listening to AI Today, and we'll catch you at the next podcast.